You're listening to KNKX, and now it's time for Weather with Cliff Mass and 88.5's Bellamy Palethorpe.
Sunny, yesterday my heart was filled with rain.
And it's nothing but sunny in the forecast, as far as I can tell. It's getting warmer, too, all over the Puget Sound region. In fact, Seattle is headed for a record dry spell for July and August. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe with Cliff Mass at the University of Washington. He's still musing about the amazing solar eclipse earlier this week and its meteorological effects, so we're going to hear about that in a bit. But first, Cliff, let's get that forecast once again. No rain.
No rain. No rain as far as I can see. Today, there's some clouds, especially in the northern part of our area, as a weak disturbance moves through British Columbia. In fact, there will be a little bit of rain up there. If you go far enough north, 100 miles north, it could be a few showers, but not here in Washington State. And what will happen is temperatures will warm up during the weekend. High pressure will build in again, more offshore flow. Today, temperatures will get up into the mid to upper 70s. But as we go into the weekend, we'll go well into the 80s, low 80s on Saturday, mid 80s on Sunday and Monday. So it's just going to get warmer and warmer. And it looks like there'll be a weak cool down midweek, but no rain at all in the models at this point, completely dry.
So that means that we're about to tie a dry record for summertime, July and August. Measurements at SeaTac Airport, right?
That's right. The record is 0.02 inches of rain, and that's where we are right now. And I think we'll tie it. That record occurred in 1917. So, we won't be the absolute driest. We'll tie the driest. And I think that's pretty much in the bag because the models indicate no rain at all, at least for the next week.
Any idea why it's been so dry this summer?
Well, I think it's pretty clear. There's an area of high pressure that's been very persistent. So we've had high pressure of us, low pressure to both sides of us over the middle of the Pacific Ocean on the East Coast. And this pattern has been locked in. High pressure gives us sinking air, often offshore flow, and that has basically ended any chance of precipitation. And by the way, it's also prevented us from getting much lightning. And because of that, the wildfire season has actually been a pretty mild one because we haven't had the initiation from lightning strikes.
So we've been pretty lucky so far, and we were lucky with the eclipse as well. Really great weather for that. You were there.
I was. I went down to Eastern Oregon. I had some friends down there, and it was one of the most extraordinary events of my life. I really enjoyed it. But I had my temperature sensors with me, and I was measuring temperature as the eclipse occurred, and it was startling. Where I was located, the temperature dropped 13 degrees in an hour as the sun's light weakened and basically stopped. So I wasn't the only one. There were observations all around Eastern Oregon and throughout the region that had temperature drops of 10 to 15 degrees. Even here in Seattle, where we had only 90% totality, temperatures dropped 4 or 5 degrees over many locations. So temperature drop was profound. But there's more than that. With less solar radiation, that means some of the local circulations, the sea breezes and the upslope flows and things like that weakened out. And so the winds were actually suppressed by a few knots because the sun was weakening out. And it goes beyond that. During the early morning to early afternoon, we often have heating at the surface and we have cumulus that start developing. Well, throughout the country, when the sun's radiation started weakening from the eclipse, the cumulus clouds that started to rev up would all of a sudden die away. And you go from partly cloudy to clear skies because of the solar radiation was weakening. So there was a lot of meteorological effects. And an interesting issue is whether our models could actually simulate these. And we're checking that out right now.
Interesting. And Cliff, it sounds like you were really struck by this experience yourself, personally.
I was. I mean, it really had an emotional hit on me. As we entered the total eclipse, in those last few minutes, the sun's rays would weaken out, and it was eerie. It was strange. It was actually scary on a very primal level. And then when we went into totality, when the stars would come out and the planets, and most importantly, the corona, I had no idea how big the corona was and how different it looks with the naked eye than on a photograph, the sort of long fibrous strands of this white light. It was startling and it was probably one of the best things I've ever seen.
So you're going to start chasing them around the world?
I'm already thinking about 2024 on the East Coast, so I may go to that one.
All right. Thanks, Cliff.
Sure, Bellamy.
He teaches atmospheric sciences at the University of Washington, and we speak every week at this time on Skype. You can subscribe to podcasts of our weekly conversations at our website, knkx.org. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe, 88.5 News.
KNKX comes from the Northwest, where we see the future.
Welcome to the future and all the wonders of the 21st century in the greatest preview the world has ever seen.
Take away ahead, look at tomorrow.
88.5 KNKX on knkx.org and NPR One.